Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 4:12 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is January 4th, and it was a very interesting day in markets today, where the 5-year yield popped on the upside, got up to test the 1.4% level, and then settled back down. So as soon as yields started rising, then it had a significant knock-on effect for the tech sector. And what I find particularly interesting right now is the semiconductors index, because if we look straight at the SOX index, then it's right in the region of the all-time peaks, and for a good portion of today it was working on a downside Q reversal, and we've seen a succession of these over the course of the last 6 weeks, but then it paired the decline throughout the day. So the big question now is whether this 5-year yield is going to start coming back down again, because it's fully unwound the compression that we saw in 2020. Well, I did run the numbers, and US government debt has increased by $5.7 trillion since early 2020, and that's about 24.6%. So they've increased the quantity of debt outstanding by a quarter. But at the same time, since July of 2020, GDP has actually been increasing faster than debt has, and that's helped to support stock markets. It's also helped to support earnings. And we're at a very interesting time now for these companies, because when we look at some of the large constituents of the semiconductors index, like AMD, well, then it accelerated to its peak. We had a large downward dynamic, and it's again now looking like a lower high. But most importantly, it's not right in the region of the peak like the wider index. And then you have Nvidia, which has also pulled back, and it's nowhere near its all-time peak. And then one of the big favorites in the it's the kind of company that people talk about as never going down, which is ASML. Well, it's also well off its highs. So then we would have to ask the question, what is it that is helping to support the index? And Taiwan Semiconductor popped on the upside over the weekend. So this is certainly helping to support the semiconductors index. And then what we're also seeing is that some of the serial laggards are also perking up. So Intel is bouncing from the lower side of its range, and IBM has strung together about 5 weeks consecutively on the upside, and it's now right at the upper side of this evolving base formation which has been underway for the last 3 years. So this, I think, is also indicative of what else is going on in the wider market, because we're definitely starting to see some of the more defensive type companies doing better. Coca-Cola has broken on the upside. It pushed onto a new all-time high in here today. McDonald's has also been doing rather well and is still in the region of its peaks. Now, there's this argument circulating that the semiconductors index can escape the cyclical nature of the market, and that's going to be extraordinarily difficult. We also saw that Apple has pushed on and hit a $3 trillion valuation yesterday. So it didn't quite hold it in here today, and it was in negative territory by the close. So we are quite likely to see at least some pause and consolidation around this area, because a $3 trillion valuation is extraordinarily large, but it's a big psychological hurdle over which investors will have to come. And Bitcoin is also pulling back, and it wasn't able to hold its rally earlier on today, and as we're pushing past the switchover in from one day to the next in the 24-hour market, then it's also down. And in many respects, both Apple and Bitcoin are now looking at the law of large numbers. Smaller companies have the potential to do better. and smaller altcoins have an easier time multiplying than the really large ones. So Ethereum has outperformed Bitcoin by a considerable margin over the course of the last year, but it also broke out relative to Bitcoin, and it's been ranging for most of the last 6 months, but it broke out in December and it continues to hold that move now. So there's less money and interest in Bitcoin right now, and that has nothing to do with the arguments supporting the market or not, but simply because the vast majority of people who are interested in Bitcoin, well, they're there because they think that there's fast profits to be made. And when those fast profits don't emerge, well, then they go off and find something even more speculative, but also lower priced to generate those kind of profits in. Well, the dollar index was pretty quiet in here today, and still in the region of the peaks from over the course of the last 6 weeks. And the big question is that if the USA's debt to GDP ratio is in fact contracting, and I think perhaps it does behoove us to look at that. Well, then what we have is an interesting environment. So when we then, let me see if I can pull this up. When we look at the debt to GDP ratio, it peaked in 2020 and it's been contracting for most of the last 15 months. So that's supportive of the dollar, because if GDP is advancing faster than the quantity of debt outstanding, well, then the debt mountain is eroded and dollars become more valuable as a result. And that's certainly been the case over the course of the last 15 months. So we can see that the dollar bottomed in January of 2021 and it has been rising since. And this, of course, is coming into the question again of rising yields. So investors have pushed the 5-year yield, which corresponds with the duration of the US debt, up to levels that we saw prior to the pandemic. And the total has increased by trillions of dollars. So this cost of servicing the debt is also now going to be higher than it was back in 2019. And of course, that is going to have an impact on the ability of the government to borrow. But of course, that's only true if growth were to moderate. So as long as the economic expansion continues to accelerate, well, then debt issues aren't going to be problematic. But of course, if growth were to slow down, well, then that is going to have an impact. And particularly if the Federal Reserve is more worried about inflation and raises interest rates into a less than benign environment. So gold prices pulled back sharply on Monday, rebounded again on Tuesday. But overall, they haven't really gone anywhere for most of the last 9 months, and there's an upward bias since about March of this year, of last year. So I do think that we still have the evidence of a triangular pattern. There was plenty of evidence of a triangular pattern before the big pop on the upside in November, and we very briefly flurried on the upside and came back down, and it held the sequence of higher reaction lows, which is exactly what it needed to do. And now it is still holding the move above the psychological $1,800 area. So it's making heavy weather of it. But I do see a correlation between the peak in the USA's debt to GDP ratio and the peak in gold. The two peaks transpired less than a month apart. So as long as the dollar has got this support behind it, then that's going to weigh on the ability of gold to rally in dollar terms. But the Japanese yen is trending downwards, and the dollar broke out against it this week, and this is the completion of the most recent range. This is an uptrend, and it suggests that the yen is going to be getting weaker. So then when we think about the Japanese stock market, it has a tailwind in nominal terms from the depreciating currency, and the Nikkei continues to rebound. We can also think then about what's going on in China, because the USA continues to be a magnet for investment. Alibaba has continued to pause, having pulled back violently ahead of the holidays. It hasn't really gone anywhere, but it hasn't bounced either. And there was certainly news stories out today that Charlie Munger, as the CEO, or I guess the president of the Daily Journal, have doubled their holding in Alibaba, and that was certainly good for some flurry of activity in here today. But we had a big upward dynamic 4 days ago, and we had another big upward dynamic in early December. So somebody was buying back then, and perhaps the Daily Journal might have been that buyer. But we're also seeing that some of the other companies that did particularly badly last year are right at the lower side of their respective ranges. And if they can improve from here, well, then it's going to look like failed downside breaks. So NIO announced over the weekend that their sales of electric vehicles have been surging higher, and Tencent Music is down significantly, 80% from the peak back in March, and is attempting to find some support. Of course, the news is still focused on China Evergrande, and they've been ordered to start demolishing buildings on Hainan Island. So that is certainly not great for sentiment for the property sector, and I think this is going to be a sequence of news stories that persists for most of the year. The CSI 300 real estate sector is dominated by the state-owned property sector, so it is bouncing. And it is looking increasingly likely that what we're going to see is a formalization of Chinese property. In other words, that the best of the sector will be effectively nationalized, and they'll be reduced in capacity to the same extent that the state-owned banks are. And that will insulate those balance sheets because they'll have the effective backing of the government. But there won't be any tolerance for very risky behavior among the property developers if we don't see, I think, after that nationalization process takes place. And that's what the bankruptcy of China Evergrande is looking like. But the banking sector has been ranging with an upward bias for 6 years, and it's just about holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. It's right back in the region of those right now. So this is an important area where we should anticipate some support coming back in. And the Indian market is also firming in here and bouncing from the region of the trend mean. So this remains really quite an impressive uptrend overall. Now, when we focus our attention back on Europe, there is a lot of interest in value plays, and certainly we're seeing more value plays getting attention from investors, whether it is the very defensive plays in the consumer sector, or whether then it's European markets that trade at a relative discount, like the FTSE 100. And the FTSE was up in a really quite dynamic manner in here today. So this is increasingly looking like an environment where investors are getting leery of the valuations that we see in the tech sector, and anxious about the continued push higher in yields, and starting to wonder about just how persistent is this outsized growth? And obviously, Europe has got challenges, and we've had a lot of volatility in energy prices, and the natural gas price rebounded from the region of the trend mean in here today, but it wasn't finishing on the peak of the day, even though it was up 45. So I think we're going to see some support building coming through in here. And agricultural commodity prices continue to also rally. So soybeans is pushing back up again from the 1200 cent level, and corn prices have also firmed. So we're seeing increasing action where the breakouts have been sustained and they're finding support in the region of the upper side of those base formations. So these look like first steps above the base, which is a precursor to new bull markets forming. And wheat prices, which have put in a sequence of events which are all failed upside breaks despite the uptrend since the middle of 2020, it may now be finding support in the region of the previous peak. So that would say, or at least begin to suggest, that the trend is becoming more consistent, and Mosaic is pushing up and through the $40 area, so it's potentially in the process of completing its base formation. And Nutrien pulled back rather sharply in here today, and part of the reason for that is because they've lost their CEO only after 7 months, but that doesn't really mean anything in terms of the pricing of fertilizers. And with strong commodity prices, then the chances are that farmers are going to want to spend more on fertilizer. And sugar prices are right back in the region of the trend mean and the upper side of the underlying range. And coffee prices have been really resurgent over the course of the last year and are beginning to firm as well from the lower side of the range. And then we can think about industrial resources because copper prices continue to firm. And this has looked like a consolidation in the region of the 2011 peak for all of 2021. And as long as copper is holding the $4 area, and this is just a consolidation, then the chances are that we're moving into a new commodity-led bull market. But it's going to be led by copper because of the new sources of demand from transportation and electricity generation. And if that's indeed the case, then it's going to create both opportunities and difficulties. Certainly opportunities on the mining side and opportunities in the transportation side. And then there'll be challenges because it's going to force technology to improve and it's going to force substitution. So we're going to need a lot more fiber optic cabling instead of copper cabling, and that's a trend that's already underway. We're going to see innovations in motors because there'll be an incentive to use less copper. And then we're likely to see innovation in electricity generation and transportation because of the cost of copper and the difficulty there is in increasing the supply of copper because it takes decades to create a new world-class copper mine. So I think that's part of the reason why Saudi Arabia is investing so heavily in bringing people from around the world to Riyadh next week because they want to talk about how to turn the Arabian Peninsula into a significant mining jurisdiction, which is comparatively unexplored. And the Tadawul index is bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. So I think we're looking at a world where there's a lot of money floating around looking for opportunities. And I think everybody is aware of the significant sums that are being devoted to a green new future. And everybody wants to get a piece of it. And of course, I think this is why keeping a view on, or keeping an eye on the carbon emissions price is so valuable, because it graphically illustrates how much government support there is for higher prices for just about everything. And when they talk about inflationary pressures, well, nobody wants to talk about the impact of carbon emissions on the pricing of everything relating to carbon and how that contributes to inflation. But it's the reality. And it's setting off a significant bull market in speculation about what are the assets that will do best from it. And of course, this also suggests that interest rates are going to remain firmer, and that business models that are completely dependent on access to cheap and limitless liquidity are going to be under more pressure. So then it's really imperative that the semiconductors index finds and holds support soon, because when the leading participants in an index start to roll over, well, then that is a significant warning signal. So if we're thinking about then where the risks are as well as where the opportunities are, then some of the risks certainly lie in the technology sector right now. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.